Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Sunday, November 10th, 2019. I've got Mary Grader with me here today, and we're going to discuss all the crazy topics of WWE in the last week, including a lot of things we liked, which is quite the difference from the last time, if you remember our show. The very first and only so far explicitly rated WWE podcast where she brought out the dark side in me as we are fresh off the WWE draft, the Hell in a Cell debacle. But this is a much more positive show. So if you're not into the WWE ranting, well, this is not the show for you, because I think that we did a pretty good job of outlining everything that we like about the company right now. A lot of it credited to the NXT invasion and the overall storylines right now, the programs, everything just has that new fresh coat of paint. The problem then becomes when this fresh coat of paint is now dried up and Survivor Series passes, where do we land with NXT? Where do we land with SmackDown and Raw after the NXT stars are gone and everyone goes back to their own worlds? So there is that looming over the heads of management and the heads of and the questions and minds of fans. So, but overall, I really, you know, I love talking with Mary. She's always a blast to talk to. And, you know, she is very passionate about the product, as I am. We love the product. We will be WWE fans forever. And, you know, it's great to talk to somebody that has that equal amount of passion, because you don't run into that in daily life, at least not in mine. So we're going to get to Mary in just one second. But first, I would invite you guys to head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. The reason I'm asking is because the benefits have recently changed. I've made it more simplistic for you to understand and added new benefits, like being able to get a shout out on the show via a video shout out on my Twitter feed, and also getting a shout out on the show. You can come on the show and do a podcast with me. Lots of benefits that weren't there before are now there. And it really starts in the bottom tiers. So if you head on over to Patreon, plus for every tier, you get a completely ad-free experience. If you don't like the ads and things, you can get that removed completely from every show that I do. So that's always a plus, where you don't have to use the skip button. You don't have to just sit through the ads and you know, oh, I can't wait till this is over. Just get back to the show. You can just listen with the greatest of ease, and head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast to do that. You can also really find me on any feed. Any podcast feed you have. I'm not going to list them all. If you can think of a podcast app, we are probably there. So I would encourage you to do that as well. And I want to thank you guys for being patrons of the show and being supporters and listeners of the show, because you guys are what makes this show tick. You guys are making this show tick in a big way. And I want to thank you guys for that, as I do every single show. I think it's an important point to do. You know, I do talk about that every show, but I think it's important, because this show is nothing without you guys. It really isn't. I mean, I could sit here and talk on my computer and I could talk to myself, but that's not as interesting. I want to make sure that you have a voice, that the fans have a voice, and that I'm, you know, talking directly to fans. I want them to feel like this is not state-run radio. I mean, I know that the WWE is starting to pump out official WWE podcasts like After the Bell with Corey Graves. And, you know, kudos to him. And you know, he's skyrocketed to the top of the wrestling sports category in iTunes and many other platforms. But you have to be, I think, very weary of those podcasts. The reason is, how much leeway do they actually have? You know, like, how much freedom does Corey Graves have? Do his guests have that are actually active performers in the company? You know, I think that you have to think about that when they answer his questions, rather than having a true off the cuff. What do you really think about what's going on here and here and here and what happened here and the crowd reaction here when you were booked to do this? You know, so Corey Graves, great talker, great host, all that stuff. But man, I just really would question the true validity of the answers he's getting, given you are on state-run radio on the platform of WWE with WWE performers who are between a rock and a hard place of answering the question in the way that they want to and the way that they feel like they should. So there is that. But hey, more success to him. You know, I'm glad the show for him is doing well. Anyway, after that free advertising, I'd like to move on here to Mary Grader, our co-host for the day. And she had a great idea. If you guys would like your answers to questions and you want questions and us to answer them live on the show, tweet me at the WWE podcast and say, hey, can you guys answer this on your next show? I'd like to be able to collaborate those and collect those before our show so that we can answer them live on the air for you. All right. Well, I think that's all the housekeeping items. Again, guys, enjoy Mary Grader. I'll be back Tuesday for your Monday Night Raw review. Wednesday, we'll be back with a special co-host, which is typically Wrestling Nostalgia, but I'll push that off to another night. I'm going to be bringing on another co-host, and I'll keep that a little bit of a secret until it happens. So, again, guys, and also, oh, by the way, check out the AEW Full Gear review that Zach Perez did. Great review covering a very, very noteworthy pay-per-view. And I would highly encourage you check that out. Both shows, this show and the Full Gear review, have dropped at the same time. So two episodes if you're, you know, late nights chilling and it's or it's in the morning and you're getting ready for work, although it's Veterans Day tomorrow, so maybe you're not at work at this time, but maybe you just want to sit back and relax. Well, we have two new episodes for you, including this one, available that are right now on November 10th. So, alrighty, guys. Well, here comes Mary, and as always, I'll talk to you next time. All right, everybody, welcome to the show, and it's a good night because I have Mary Grader with me, and it's also a good night because I did some meditation before the show. I'm really, really going to make an effort to not make this the second explicitly rated show. She is the very first person to ever make me go off the rails and force me to a explicitly rated show. So, Mary, thank you so much, and welcome back.
I'm sorry.
No, that's...
I bring it out of people sometimes. I don't know. Hi, how's it going? Sorry about that, guys, last time. I had strong words, and sometimes you need those words to describe something. But as I was saying to Matt before we turned on the recorder, I have good things to say this week. So I think we're safe. I promise I won't drop any S-bombs because, you know, I did give myself credit. There were no F-bombs. So
that's right. So I think maybe, I did well. Yeah, it probably should have been rated like a PG-13 then. So, I mean, like, we didn't go completely off the rails and just start swearing to swear. But, man, you got me last time was just something else. I mean, because last time we talked, we were coming fresh off of that wonderfully executed draft, Hell in a Cell. I mean, it was just a conglomeration of nonsensical garbage. And now I think we have a lot more positive elements of WWE to talk about. And one of those, I'm just going to jump right in, is, I think, the Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch and Bayley triple threat that's coming up. And I'm just going to toss it to you to give your thoughts on the promo from Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler, which I thought was just absolutely stellar, to the attack from Shayna on Bayley this past week. Wrap it all into one. What did you think of all this?
I thought it was awesome. That's why I have good things to say this week, as we were saying. The whole NXT invasion storyline breathed life back into the two shows. They're doing interesting stuff, and they're doing like violent stuff too, that we haven't seen in like a long time. It was reminiscent of Nexus, but it's better than Nexus because they haven't put the bet on it yet. So I don't know. I'm really excited for Bayley, Becky, and Shayna. I love Shayna. I think she's the ultimate badass heel female champion. She's awesome. She's dominant. I prefer her to Rousey in wrestling. And, that match is going to be insane. I think it's going to be super violent too, because Bayley, even though Bayley is Bayley, she's not like against prone to violence. She likes trying new things. So it's going to be a rough match for the ladies, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough match. And what's awesome is you said, yeah, the whole NXT angle has been a totally new breath of fresh air. That's the best way to phrase this. My concern is that this is kind of hot-shotting for WWE, and that maybe after Survivor Series is over, I don't know where they go. And yeah, we're not even there yet. But so I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts, and everything feels fresh and new. And I'm really, really looking forward to what this match is going to bring. And do I wish maybe it was a one-on-one from Shayna Baszler and Becky? Maybe. But Becky Lynch is just the queen of triple threats and seemed to can't ever get that one-on-one main event. She just can't. I don't know why. But with the addition of Bayley, I like this from the perspective of, yes, they're trying to get all three champions into this match, but I think that their styles are going to complement each other very well. I like how the combat style of Becky Lynch complements Bayley's style of kind of a more wrestling technique, where Shayna Baszler is she was trained by Ronda Rousey. She made that very clear. And I think that they each bring something different to the table, and I think it could work very well. All three women came from NXT. One woman is still in NXT. So this is going to be a match that, honestly, this isn't really a prediction show, but, man, I mean, if you're going to make a statement, as they always like to say, I would think that Shayna Baszler would come out on top here. I think she has been booked beautifully throughout this invasion. Probably the best, maybe out of all of the talent, the way that she's been portrayed, the way that she's been introduced, her sit down with Becky was A+ stuff. That was probably the best segment of Raw, with Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. And props to Becky too, but Shayna Baszler came off like a star, like she belonged there, like she had been there for years. So yes, I'm looking forward to this match, and I'm already invested in who comes out the victor, because they've already made me care with a single promo that lasted 5 minutes. It's amazing what you can do. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This is one of my top matches, if not the match I'm looking forward to the most, beyond all the, you know, traditional Survivor Series, you know, nonsense that they do and brand loyalty that just gets, you know, brought up out of nowhere and everyone suddenly cares about their brand more than anything. This match in particular, I'm looking forward to the most.
Yes, absolutely. Shayna, I think it's, I'm trying to put together the words. She's probably going to go over. If you've looked at everything that they did with NXT, which has been super interesting since the invasion angle has happened, is that all of them have won, basically. Like, NXT has won. Adam Cole, like you were saying, Shayna, Adam Cole has been booked really, really well, too, in the last 2 weeks. I mean, he defeated Daniel Bryan. And who else? AJ? Who was the other wrestler that he wrestled? Why am I forgetting right
Seth
now?
Seth Rollins.
Because the match was crazy. Seth Rollins. There you go. I'm sorry, Seth. That's how forgettable Seth Rollins is right now.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. And we'll get there. Yes.
No, I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm saying that, like, holy crap, I forgot that Seth Rollins existed because the NXT stuff has been so good, but he was involved in it, and I still didn't remember it. Sorry, Seth. Anyway, so Adam Cole, like, it's been really good, but Shayna's probably going to win. I mean, it keeps Bayley and Becky safe on the main rosters, and it gives, you know, the young upstart, the she's basically the rookie out of all of them, the shine, and she's the type of person that you want to give it to. You don't want to ruin her character.
No, you don't. You don't. I think Shayna Baszler needs it more than anybody does, although you could argue Bayley maybe does too. Bayley's been kind of, she turned. We all enjoy her character, I think, infinitely more, but there hasn't been a whole lot of follow-up. It's just been kind of like, okay, great. She slaughtered the Bayley buddies in broad daylight, you know, committed, I don't know, 6 homicides, and then cut her hair, got new music, you know, did all the dark makeup, all of it. I love it, and I've been clamoring for it, and they did it, and you know, props to them. But I think that what the follow-up here is that's missing is they haven't done a whole lot to continue that momentum. Yeah, they have her on commentary. Good. But I don't feel like she's, like, moving forward. She's just kind of, like, staying in place. She's not going backwards. She's just kind of there, and I need her to move forward, and maybe a victory at Survivor Series could do that by cheating to win and cheating to beat Becky and leaving Shayna Baszler out of the fall so that you could say, hey, Shayna Baszler wasn't even involved in the decision, so she didn't take the loss. Becky Lynch did. And maybe you do that. And Becky can afford to take the loss. No belts are on the line here. It's just brand supremacy every November that gets me just fired up about I'm not even going to go there. But, I mean, seriously, it's just a bad, bad road. So I think, yes, who needs it the most? Probably Shayna, but Bayley's a close second. I don't think Becky needs to win this one.
Well, we were talking about Bayley and Sasha before. I think that they have something in place for Bayley. I was asking you if you noticed, and I'll ask you now on the air. Did you notice in the match, which was the last thing I got to watch on SmackDown before we started recording, because, guys, I'm super busy and I have no time for, like, 18 hours of wrestling. I try really hard, but I started watching it. The match was amazing. Bayley was, like, staring at Sasha like she was obsessed, wanted to kind of wear her skin, but not really. Like, she's in love with her, and I was wondering if you noticed that. Because it feels like the way her character has changed, and I think her promos are great. I was saying I love the commentary back and forth with Corey Graves, her going to him, like, who are you? We don't even, like, have a relationship. Like, why do you care about what I do and stuff like that? What she's saying is great. It seems like she just needs to get a little more comfortable with it, but that added to her staring at Sasha the way that she was staring at her and then, like, making commentary shut up when Sasha was on the ropes beating up Nikki Cross. It just feels like they're going with that angle, and I don't know if it's going to become an obsession thing, maybe where Sasha ends up with the title at the end. I don't know. That's like way booking crazy out.
You took one glance and, you know, booked like 6 months in advance here. I mean, like it's possible. I mean, yeah, the thing is, I don't know if I have enough faith in WWE booking to go that far, but I would not rule it out. And the reason I wouldn't rule it out is we talked about before we, you know, press record here, is that back in the day, in the just loathed day of the back and forth, up and down, you know, all around 180, you know, nonsensical turns and non-turns and we love you, I hate you, there was one segment, and I know you and I couldn't figure out who it was to say this, but during all of their nonsense, there was a point where WWE decided it would be a good idea to have one of them say to the other, I love you, and the other one said, what do you mean? And the other one says, no, like, I love you. And it was more than just, I love you as a friend, you know, put her there, pal. It was more of something deeper, and they never explored that. It just kind of went away, and the next week they were attacking each other from behind. The next week they were out there in tag team competition, and nothing happened. I mean, so there's a whole year and a half that just I'd like to forget about that segment or that whole program, but yeah, maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. I mean, it's 2019. I don't think anyone would really, you know, say boo about it. I mean, geez, like, I don't care. I would think that maybe if they do that, though, who would be the heel? Who would be the face? I mean, both are freshly turned, Bayley more than Sasha. I don't know how you would book that. I'm not against it. I'm exploring your idea.
I was just, like, going off the rails. I was just going off the rails with the end part. I would think that if they were doing that kind of angle, they would end up, you know, staying together as a team and just being kind of like being involved with each other. So I don't know. That's just a stretch. It just seemed like they were focusing on Bayley, watching Sasha the whole time and the way that she was, like, looking at her. I could be reading way too much into this, but I don't know. I like what she's doing with her character, but I think Shayna wins that triple threat match. I think that's, like, a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think Shayna does, too. There's just no other way to go about it, at least for now. And again, I don't think they can really lose here, though. Honestly, whoever wins that match, I wouldn't complain about whoever won that match, because I think all three women are good candidates. Again, we've already outlined the two that would probably be needs it the most, in air quotes. But, yeah, I'm just looking most forward to how do these three women gel inside the ring for the first time on a big stage. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, another thing I liked, was Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio and Paul Heyman coming out. Well, Paul Heyman comes out at the beginning of Raw last week and basically says that, and I liked how they really laced up this loophole about Brock Lesnar just saying, I quit SmackDown, I can go to Raw, and how no one else can do that. Because He's Brock freaking Lesnar, and he's better than all of us, and he can do whatever he wants to do. I loved that because, number one, it's true. He's Brock Lesnar. He could do whatever the hell he wants to do because, as he said, it's called leverage. And I liked how they actually addressed that because I'm thinking, oh, so anybody could just quit any brand and they're automatically on the other brand. Well, and no, that's not the case. So I really appreciate that little tidbit being locked up and having him out there and then going on the hunt for Rey Mysterio throughout the back. And then Rey Mysterio coming out and, you know, attacking Lesnar from behind after Lesnar gave an F5 or I think it was an F5 to Dio Madden through the announce table and just beating people up, which was hilarious. I love Brock when he's like this. Heel Brock Lesnar is hilarious, and I love it. And Rey Mysterio gets the attack on Lesnar. So what do you think about the program in general?
I think it's cool. I like that they're doing like a real David and Goliath song. This is actually like real David and Goliath. Like Brock Lesnar, like his five Rey Mysterios put together. So it's interesting, and it's interesting that Rey is going after him and being so brave about it. And I liked how commentary was adding to it. Like, you know, he attacked his kids, like he snapped, he had somebody go there and they couldn't get the job done. Like you can only take so much. You attacked his family. So it works for me. I think it's cool that Rey Mysterio is getting another title shot. I don't think he's going to win it, but it's been an interesting storyline, and I'm glad that they got what's his face out of it already. And now it's back to Rey and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to. And, you know, when they originally did this, I was thinking, there's no way. This can't actually be a Rey Mysterio-Brock Lesnar program because it's just not even a fair fight. It's not. I mean, you had Rey Mysterio bringing in Cain Velasquez to fight on his behalf. And Cain Velasquez went away, thank God, is just gone. And I really don't need to see him inside a ring again. I just don't.
Not to cut you off, but real quick, just to interject, like how often do they do that? Like they know they always keep people around longer than they're needed. So it was like a blessing. It was like he had his match and he was done. There you go.
Yeah, no, and that's just what it was, I think. But again, and I hope that's what it was. I just don't need Cain Velasquez in the ring. He's not Brock Lesnar. He just because you're in UFC doesn't automatically mean you're going to translate nicely into WWE. Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar are once in a generation performers that can just do the transition. Kurt Angle, again, wasn't in UFC, obviously an Olympian, but was able to make the transition very quickly. And so there are very few guys and gals that can do that and do it well and make themselves look like a true superstar. And Cain Velasquez just wasn't one of them. And again, I'm sure he'll be back. From what I hear, he has signed like a multi-year deal. What that means, I don't know. Maybe just a couple of matches throughout his couple of years he's contracted. But nonetheless, I do like this program because it's got some deep-seated stuff in it. He attacked his family. I'm sure that Dominic will be at Survivor Series to try to avenge his father and be at ringside and try to attack Brock. And this is just something that's inside of me. I don't know if it's a sickness. I don't know if it's a darkness. I don't know if it's just me and some kind of disorder that I have. But there's something in me that I really, really like when Brock Lesnar beats the crap out of Dominic and Rey Mysterio. And I can't find myself to cheer Rey Mysterio. I think he's a great performer. He's a Hall of Famer. I've got nothing against him personally in real life. I just, the character of him and Dominic, when Brock Lesnar beat them up, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And it was just something that I was just, I was just standing up smiling and laughing like, this is awesome. Why am I laughing at him being beaten up in front of his dad, and his dad can't help him? So am I hoping Brock Lesnar, you know, destroys Rey Mysterio and F5's his son at Survivor Series? You're damn right.
You did not hold back on that. Dominic, we want to see you in pain.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Everyone else is probably going, why? He beat up his son. He's the father that's going to avenge his loss.
You have no heart.
I know. You're a soulless SOB. What is
it? Listen, I forgot before we were talking about Bailey and Sasha, the match with Sasha and Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross, when she was beating up Sasha and then just went full force and like clocked Bailey in the chair and just started beating the crap out of her, I started laughing so hard. I couldn't stop laughing. Like, she beat the crap out of her, and it was hilarious. It was a beautiful sequence. Like, you didn't even see it coming. She just, like, went, bam, boom, and that was it. So I feel you.
Oh,
I like
completely blindsided. Oh yeah, no. So you feel what I'm feeling when sometimes you're like you feel maybe like a bad person for cheering or laughing at this, but man, yeah. So it is akin to that. And now that I didn't really like think about that, so I'm gonna go back and rewatch that segment just so I can get a laugh. I must have turned away at that exact moment and missed that moment.
You gotta you gotta see when the impact happens, because like you don't see it coming. Like it's like she's doing something and then she just decides to like go. And it was like completely off center. You're like, holy sh-, you know. So yeah. It was great. It was awesome.
All right, I'm gonna check that out. So we talked a little bit about Adam Cole and his debut. Well, debut on the main roster, that is. And he faced Daniel Bryan. He beat Daniel Bryan last week on SmackDown, not this past week. And then we had a Seth Rollins-Adam Cole match, both of them outstanding. I think Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole were better just simply for the fact that they got more time, where Seth Rollins and Adam Cole had about 7-8 minutes. And so Adam Cole making a huge impact on his debut on the, quote, main roster, although WWE is trying to re-educate fans to reimagine NXT is not just a breeding ground or farm system for SmackDown and Raw, but rather a legitimate third brand. And I like that. I think that's a good idea. But Adam Cole coming up and really feeling like he belongs. And I mean, honestly, you could have Adam Cole and Seth Rollins or Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan in a true Iron Man match, like AKA 60 minute Iron Man match. And I would be there for every minute of it. I mean, Adam Cole is an absolute asset to NXT, to the main roster, to anybody he works with, because he can make anybody look good. And that's what's awesome. So can Seth Rollins. So when you put two guys like that in the ring, you're destined for a great match. And while this did end in a DQ with Seth Rollins and Adam Cole with NXT Invasion and the whole brawl that happened after, I still am really excited to whenever Adam Cole does, quote, graduate to Raw and or SmackDown.
Yeah, Adam Cole had a really, really, really good week. I said on Twitter when I was watching it was like, if Shawn Michaels and Triple H were sitting ringside watching the match, obviously. So I said, if Shawn Michaels and Triple H had a baby, it'd be Adam Cole. He kind of looks like them and stuff. And he is. He's kind of the perfect mix of both of them. Much more Shawn Michaels than Triple H, but you can see his influence in there. And yeah, it's a good look for him. They're making him look strong. I don't know if he'll ever, I mean, he's got to get called up to the main roster, but now that they're making NXT like its own, just as important, or trying to make it as just as important as Raw and SmackDown, I think that there's going to be staples in NXT that aren't ever going to move up. And I think that's good for the brand too. Because sometimes there's not real luck for NXT people on the main roster. And I think Triple H and Shawn Michaels are so overprotective of Adam Cole that they're not going to let anything bad happen to him. So I think that's a big reason why he had such a shining, stellar week, in my personal opinion. And he looked great. He made the matches work phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up. I think that we are just conditioned to think that anybody who's done with NXT will drop the title and then just come up, and that's how you know they're on their way up. They drop the belts, and it's not a destination, but rather a stepping stone for stars to really make it to the, quote, main roster of Raw and SmackDown. And to have him stay there as a cornerstone, as a foundational piece of that puzzle for NXT is not a bad thing. I mean, that to me signifies that this is indeed going to be a true third brand. It's not just the, you know, the redheaded stepchild of the WWE family and programming, that this is actually going to be a real, third brand. And I think that the ratings speak for themselves when they go head to head with Dynamite. I mean, Dynamite has beaten them every single week, and we're on what, week six now, and they have beaten them every single week. So I think NXT can use all the exposure that it can get if they are trying to topple AEW. And if you ask them, they'd say, oh, well, we're focused on ourselves. We're not looking at what they're doing. Nonsense. That's a bunch of nonsense, because the ratings still matter. Even in this, you know, digital on-demand age, ratings still matter. So I think that having AEW, or rather NXT, exposed on Raw and SmackDown for an audience that may not otherwise have been exposed to these stars is a good idea, a great idea, in fact, and especially having them make the impact that they did. Social media went crazy. People said it was the best SmackDown that they've seen, Raw they've seen in months, and I see why. So this is a win all the way around for SmackDown or NXT, even if they don't end up winning the match at Survivor Series, which is honestly kind of irrelevant.
Definitely. I mean, the SmackDown episode when they invaded, it's the best episode of SmackDown that's been on the air so far. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, it breathed air into the product. And you're absolutely right. They need the exposure so people can know who they are. But I mean, having AJ on there on Wednesday, I mean, I've been watching AEW every week and then going back and watching NXT. I watched NXT this week. I didn't watch any AEW this week. Again, I didn't have the time. I watched NXT this week because of the storyline angle. And so this angle is making people want to watch it. And I just hope that they keep the momentum going even when NXT goes back to NXT and they're not on the show as much. But I think there is a lot of stuff that is happening right now that can lead to matches in the future. And I don't think that they're going to be opposed if Fox goes, hey, we want NXT stars on our show again, them having like special crossover matches and stuff like that. So and that's what I have to say about that.
and I know that you said you didn't watch Dynamite, and honestly, like, I don't have the time either. You're going to school, you got a bunch of other stuff going on. I've got a family, I've got all this other full-time job. So I did want to ask you though, and if it's no, that's fine. But did you see the Cody Rhodes promo that he cut on Chris Jericho at Dynamite? If you didn't, you have to see this promo.
I haven't watched it yet because I did go to watch AEW the next day on the app on TNT, and it wasn't up in the morning. So that was my window to hear it, and I haven't. I haven't watched it on social media. I know sometimes when things like that happen and I haven't watched it live, I try not to watch it like on the app. I want to watch the show in context somewhere like that. So I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to get to it.
I really want once you do see it, I'm very curious to see your reaction to it, and so just basically like put me in a mention or whatever whenever you do. I'm very curious to see your reaction.
I'll be like, because I wanted to text you a whole bunch of times this week about stuff that happened, and I was like, I don't know if he watched it or not. I know he doesn't watch it, so I kept my mouth quiet about a lot of stuff. But real quick, we were talking about NXT. I wanted to bring up this. I have notes down. AJ and OC being on NXT and the interaction with Finn Balor at the end, because I started freaking out thinking something's going on. Did you feel the same? Have you seen?
I saw a clip of that, and I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it is. And the reason I don't know is because Survivor Series is going to come and go. And if there's something deeper, I don't think AJ and the OC are going to stick around on NXT. They're just going to go back to their brand, and they're going to just, on Raw and, call it a day after their Survivor Series is over, and everyone's going to forget about their brand loyalties. But I don't think so. Do you?
There was a moment there.
There was.
He gave him the sign, and Finn just looked at him, and Finn's, been kind of a rogue dude right now. We know he's bad. We know he's taking out things, but like he's in, it just seemed really coincidental. And I get what you're saying, that like one or the other, Finn's now in NXT technically is. We don't know how long he's gonna be there, right?
No,
because like I don't think Finn Balor is in NXT for the next like 4 years. Like, he's gonna be down there for a while, but he's definitely coming back to the main roster. Do I think it's gonna be like for a whole year? I don't see that happening. I think they sent Finn down there to refresh him and to turn him. And who's to say that there isn't an alliance and they're already in an alliance and he's just going to kind of be in the OC while he's in NXT and nobody knows about it? It could happen. There was definitely a thing there. There was a thing, and they did that on purpose.
Sure they did, to get people talking. And maybe, I think what they do is when they're debating storylines and they honestly are split decision on it and don't know where to go, they meet you halfway, do a teaser, and see how the audience and Twitter and social media react. I think that may be what's happening here, where they could honestly wrap it up and pretend nothing happened. Or if they wanted to continue and say, hey, I think this might be a way to go. We got a lot of positive feedback on this. We'd love to see this, blah, 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 you know, from fans. Then they could say this is the start of it. So that's probably what this was.
I don't know. I think, like, it's something. These are the things that they do that I get mad when they don't pull the trigger, because why wouldn't you have a bad Finn Balor in the OC with a bad AJ Styles?
Oh, that, yeah. I'm with you on that.
AJ Styles right now is my favorite heel. He is on fire. I love that he's a little more cocky this run, too, and, like, acting like a vain, I'm hot dude. I think it's awesome. I love it. I love AJ Styles. And I feel like Anderson and Gallows are getting more airtime and stuff like that now, too. I think they're like, they should be doing a little more, but it's good. I have no complaints about it at all.
No,
so.
I don't either. I really don't. I mean, what I like AJ and you know, the OC to maybe have a little bit more of a prominent position on the show than kind of like, they're that mid upper tier, but they're never quite at the very top. They never are in that upper, you know, elite level of the show. They're always the semi-main, or if they're in the main event, they take the pinfall at times. So I agree with you, and they are getting more exposure than they otherwise wouldn't have, if especially for Gallows and Anderson, who were all but forgotten for a period of time, while AJ was, you know, holding the WWE Championship and had a hell of a run. And so I do like that. I'm with you on that. So the other thing, and I wanted to ask you about this, is The Fiend attacking Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. So I think that happened before you got to your end of the...
I think it happened, yeah. And I might have been in the other room because I heard the music.
Yeah.
And then I saw him talking about it, but I did miss it. I walked in the other room for some reason, and I think I missed
it. Well, it was a quick segment. I mean, he was just backstage, and... And Sami Zayn was trying to recruit him into his group with Shinsuke, which, by the way, Sami Zayn is effing brilliant. I mean, I love Sami Zayn so much, even in this role with Shinsuke. I mean, so that's a side conversation. But The Fiend attacked Daniel Bryan in the locker room and, you know, hit the mandible claws. Sami Zayn took off. And that was it. And The Fiend was laughing, and that was the end of that. So I don't know what to make of it. I mean, that clearly is a signal that they're heading into a program. What do you think about this potential matchup?
Everything that I've said about Bray Wyatt so far has been completely wrong, and they've done everything the opposite. Like, I can't believe that he's champ right now. I can't wrap my head around how he has the title already. I mean, I guess it makes sense because he was so popular, but it doesn't make sense. So I don't know what they're going to do with this. I don't know if they're trying to get Daniel Bryan back into the world title picture. It could be that unfinished business. They have a huge history. So maybe it's just the right of course that they think to go, because they don't have anybody really for Bray Wyatt because he takes everybody out. So maybe it's that Daniel Bryan's really not doing anything right now. He's newly single, doesn't have a partner again, you know, still kind of bad, but still he's very middle fence right now. You don't really know what's going on with him. So it makes sense. They don't want to make the same mistake as he did with Seth Rollins and Bray, because even though Bray won the title, I don't think that storyline should have ever happened.
I think, yes, what happened is, and why I think you are feeling similarly to me about Bray Wyatt being champion already, is I feel like the reason they made him champion at the pay-per-view was because they had to, not because it was the right time to. Because of the disaster of Hell in a Cell, they were thinking, oh my god, if we don't give them a clean finish and make put the championship on The Fiend, on Bray, you know, fans are going to lose their, you know what. I mean,
yeah,
that was, it felt like that they had to, and it wasn't like, well, this was the peak time to do it. It wasn't when he was at his, you know, peak interest, or when the fans were losing their minds over The Fiend. Now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, The Fiend's here. Cool. I mean, they're still intrigued, but he wasn't at his hottest when he got the belt because of how terrible and damaging Hell in a Cell was. So for him to be involved with Daniel Bryan, I think is fine. I have no real dog in the hunt here. I really like Daniel Bryan. He's been very radio silent lately on the screen. he's just kind of walking around and not really answering a lot of people. He has yet to do the actual yes chance back to the crowd, which is very concerning to me if you fully believe that he's a true babyface. And he's not answering people. People are trying to recruit him into his groups. He's kind of a lost puppy right now. I don't know where he's going to end up. I don't believe it's going to end up with him as the Universal Champion. I really don't believe that. I think that that's not really what they're going to be. I think that Bray is going to retain that belt and probably retain it for a long time. I don't even know how they defeat the Fiend because, hey, he survived 11 stomps, a pedigree, a sledgehammer, a toolbox, a chair, a ladder, and, I mean, you know, anything you can think of that was just unbelievably, it was laughable, and it was really unfortunate. So I don't know what you do to somebody like that. The only thing I could think of is, hey, you know, look, if it's Superman has to have a kryptonite. Somebody just has to find Bray Wyatt's weakness, and that's the only way that this happens, whatever his kryptonite is.
The Undertaker watches like an Undertaker rematch, like, because that's young Undertaker could beat him, but I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this. I wouldn't be surprised if they do stupid things. So who's to say they don't put the title back on Daniel Bryan? The only reason I don't think he's going to get the title is because he just had it. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it, but I don't think they have anybody else for Bray, and at least there's a history with Daniel Bryan as to why Bray Wyatt would be going after him.
Because
he attacked him. Yeah. It's not like Daniel Bryan is challenging him for the title. Bray went after him. So,
no, that is very true. That is very true. I mean, but now at least, hey, WWE at least went against their own mythology, their own logic that they use every single time of attack the champion and get a championship opportunity. This time, Bray Wyatt chose his opponent, so that makes a little bit more sense. Although, you know, I don't know any other sport in the history of mankind in which the champion decides who they want to choose. Instead, there's an actual structure, and, you know, there's tournaments, and win-loss records matter. But, hey, not in WWE. It's all just we hand-select who we want to face. But I'm fine with it. It's pro wrestling, and we move on with our lives. So, yeah, we'll have to see where it goes. I'm interested. It was just kind of came out of nowhere. I think that Daniel Bryan's just a stepping stone for Bray Wyatt onto his next real opponent. As you said, it could be Undertaker. We all know it's going to happen. There was a precursor to that in his Firefly Funhouse a couple of months ago when the clock changed from 3:16, and when Austin was on Raw, and people thought that the Fiend was going to attack Austin, which didn't happen and was a huge missed opportunity if you ask me, to 11:19, which is, we all know, the date the Undertaker debuted back in 1990. So that is going to happen. It's just a matter of when it happens. And do I want to see a 58-year-old Undertaker face Bray Wyatt? It's going to happen, whether we want it to or not. And we'll get there when we get there. But moving on a little bit into something that maybe we don't like, because, man, we have been saying way too many nice things to WWE right now. I mean, like, we need to knock this crap off. And maybe this is a positive to you, because it's been a while since we've discussed, is the Lana Rusev angle with Bobby Lashley that is now evolving into Lana saying, oh, well, Rusev wanted sex. Well, Rusev wanted to put a baby in my belly. Oh, wait, Rusev cheated on me because Bobby Lashley told me, and I'm not a strong enough woman, or I'm not an actual, you know, human being that can make my own decisions, so I just decide to make a public affair on national television. So what do you think about this whole thing? And Lana, who is supposedly going to have a huge confession this coming Monday.
I do not care about any of this. I forgot this storyline was going on. I don't know, man. It's still left over from the terrible, like, month and a half we had before the NXT invasion. And, like, they have to have some other storylines, right, I guess? So, I don't know, man. I just hope it ends soon. I can't. I can't even act like I want to talk about it.
That bad.
Yeah, I know. It's like I've seen it before. I watched it in the 90s, in the 2000s. Like I've seen this before. Lana doesn't want to have sex with Rusev. I don't know. She doesn't want kids. You know, I don't want kids either. But I do want to have sex with people. I don't understand it. So it's.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I will say this, and I know that you really have zero interest in the storyline, so I'll just kind of wrap it up on my statements is this, that, like, this isn't the worst thing Vince McMahon's ever done. I mean, when you look through the history of the terribleness of storylines, when you look back at, like, Katie Vick, or, you know, when Vince McMahon defeated God and Shawn Michaels back in 2006 or whatever. I mean, he's come out with some real big clunkers, you know, like, who's his bastard son, who the anonymous Raw general manager is. Like, there's some really bad stuff. I would rank this a bunk. It's bad, but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. With that said, I honestly, I mean, the only thing that could happen at this point is having Lana say, "I'm pregnant." Okay, great. I mean, like, that's probably what's going to come of this.
And
is Lana
gonna,
announcing
yeah,
she's pregnant.
She's pregnant and it's Rusev's.
Yeah, maybe. And I mean, it'll be pretty easy to tell based on skin color whenever it comes out of her of, like, hey, this is Rusev or Bobby Lashley. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But I don't know what the payoff is here outside of a match between Bobby Lashley and Rusev. That's where this is going, of which many people don't care. So this is just sports entertainment at its worst, of Vince McMahon's vision of what of wrestling is in 2019. He did it throughout the Attitude Era. He did it throughout the PG Era. He did it throughout, like, I mean, all eras since really the Attitude Era. And it is what it is. I'm going to be on it for the ride because I have to cover it for this show. And I'm like, on a 1 to 10, I'm like a 3 on 1 to 10 to see what the outcome of this is. And yeah, Lana's nice to look at. I mean, there's that, if that means anything. Like, that's honestly it. And I can't believe it actually closed Raw. It main evented Raw last week. I mean, come on. So
I know. That's why, like, I think I just blocked it out of my head. I might have turned it off if it was the end of Raw. I'm pretty sure I, like, turned off Raw before it ended because it was the last thing. I was like, all right, I'm going to go put Supernatural on again. Like, I just don't care about it. Just like I don't care about the Tyson Kidd, Braun Strowman storyline. Yeah. I just, like, Tyson Kidd, Tyson Fury. Sorry, see? Wrestling on the brain, not Tyson Kidd. I don't care. I just don't care. I don't.
He was just, I will say, Tyson Fury, look, I don't need any more of him in this ring. I don't know why they always think it's a good idea to bring in celebrities from other sports. 99% of the time that will not work out. And they probably paid him, you know, a small fortune to be there. Although I will be totally honest, I have never heard of him in my entire life before he came to WWE ever. Never have I ever heard of Tyson Fury, and maybe that's me being in my wrestling bubble.
No, I only knew who he was because I used to do the boxing show at Sirius, and that's the only reason I knew who he was. If I did not do that show, and I had little interest in boxing, and I still have little interest in boxing, so I was doing a show that I did not pay attention to what was going on because I think boxing is a rigged joke sport. That's the only reason I knew who he was. So I would have been right there with you, Matt.
Because I felt like, should I know this guy? And looking at him, I'm like, he's not Tyson. He's not McGregor from UFC. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I mean, I really didn't. And so maybe other people were on board with me, and I don't know. But for him to come in and have the one-off, okay, we all grin and bear it and get through the terribleness of it. Although, honestly, I didn't think the match was terrible. Terrible in the sense of what it could have been. I mean, it was eh. It was a bad match in terms of 2019 standards, but I don't know. I'm ready for Tyson Fury to go away. He was awful on SmackDown this past week. Awful in his delivery of lines with Braun Strowman there and their forced chemistry that suddenly now they're shaking hands after everything that was said. And now they're teaming up and taking out the B team. The most entertaining part of the whole thing was the B team, you know, saying that we are stupid enough to come out and face you guys. I mean, that was like the funniest thing was Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel talking. I mean, outside of that, I never want to see Tyson Fury again. I just have no interest. I don't know what it is of them WWE thinking that, oh, we'll get a crossover audience. A crossover audience from who? This isn't, you know, them bringing in Tyson back in at WrestleMania 14 that brought a ton of eyes to WWE at that time. I mean, when you're talking about bringing in Tyson, that's a whole different world.
But that was when boxing was relevant. Right. Boxing isn't relevant in 2019. Like, MMA is a little more relevant. UFC is relevant. But, like, boxing in the 80s was, you know, in its heyday, in my opinion, I think, you know, other than Ali. And, like, that was the end of their run. Like, after that, after Tyson left, nobody really, it wasn't a mainstream thing anymore. So,
Mayweather. I mean, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, but, like, you know, everybody talks about how he, like, you know, doesn't care. I don't know, whatever. I hate boxing. So it's I don't think it's as important as, like, bringing Tyson. You're right. Boxing isn't as crazy or important as it used to be. So, yeah, it's just more for stuff that we don't need to watch because of these stupid pay-per-views that they do over there. And speaking of which, that's a good segue. What is your opinion about what happened in Saudi Arabia? And, I mean, the NXT storyline apparently came for that. I think they had it planned anyway for Survivor Series, unless they really did change it last minute and were like, hey, we're going to include everybody at Survivor Series. Let's do this because of this. What is your opinion and beliefs of what happened in Saudi Arabia?
This is tough.
Especially because they have a contract. And after all this happened, then they sign a new contract. And that's just weird. It's weird. So, sorry.
No, I mean, they kept pointing to, oh, it's mechanical issues. It's mechanical issues. It's mechanical issues. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say, I'm going to take them at face value. Because the timing is a little odd. The timing of this is a little odd. You had superstars taking to Twitter talking about how, you know, they're stuck here and they don't know why. No one's talking to them. There's just too many weird things that happen. The timing is too weird for me to ignore. Am I completely ruling out that it's mechanical issues? I'm not. But the relationship with Saudi Arabia and WWE has been rocky at best lately. I mean, there's been tensions about them talking about, you know, having the women finally, you know, have their match in Saudi Arabia. And then, you know, people back home being very skeptical of the relationship with Saudi Arabia and WWE because they have this 10-year contract with WWE. And we're in year two. So, I don't know. I've read so many reports on this. It's really, really hard to speculate. But would I think something shady's going on? Yes. Do I think that it's mechanical issues? If you're going to put a gun on my head, I would say it's more than mechanical issues. While there may have been mechanical issues, and everyone was probably told to say, stick to the story. Don't go. No, nobody waver. It's mechanical issues. End of subject. I think there's more to it. What about you?
I think there's more to it. I mean, you do business with a shady company that the whole world knows is a shady company, and something goes wrong, there's retaliation. I'm not saying it isn't mechanical issues, but who's to say who caused those mechanical issues? Something happened. You don't have superstars going on, you know, social media, especially a company like WWE, who, like, they are under a fine, you know, a magnifying glass with everything they put out there on Twitter always. You know, they wouldn't take that risk and start putting that stuff out if it wasn't true. Like, and it wasn't just, oh, we don't know what's going on. Carl Anderson's wife was on Twitter saying they were being held hostage. She could have been over exaggerating it, which she maybe, I don't know, but you don't know what if they had a conversation and Carl called her. Do you know what I mean? So it just seems like a lot of BS came out at once, and then we're getting told that they didn't get paid, that WWE didn't get paid, and Vince got pissed off, and he left. And I'm sorry, that's something Vince McMahon would do. And anybody who thinks that he wouldn't do that, I'm sorry, you're crazy. As much as he cares about his company and his wrestlers, if Vince got pissed off about something enough, we all know the kind of temper he has. Reports, there's got to be smoke where there's fire. Not everything that comes out about Vince McMahon has to be bullshit. You know, sorry, I cursed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Bleep it out. Right. But you know what I'm saying. So I think that something happened. What happened? I don't know what happened. But there's too much information, like you said, that was out there for all this to be BS.
Yeah, there is. And like you said, maybe there was mechanical issues, but maybe those were intentional. I mean, you know, as I look at this report here, and this is from Forbes. Forbes.com said that... former WWE Spanish commentator Hugo Savanovic took to Facebook Live to speculate on the lingering financial issues between WWE and Saudi Arabia, and he went on to speculate that in a retaliatory move due to perceived lack of payment, Vince McMahon reportedly cut Saudi Arabia's live television feed to Crown Jewel, a move in which infuriated the Prince to a point where the WWE chartered flight was held up for hours. I mean, this is coming out of Forbes.com. So, yeah, I would think that even though there's nothing involving people's safety per se where people are being held hostage, I think that they don't want the public to perceive this as a very volatile relationship, particularly with how many millions and millions of dollars are held up in this 10-year deal for shareholders and stockholders in Wall Street to be concerned about that money and their profits and their dividends and their quarterly dividends to potentially be impacted by this. From a business perspective, if I was Vince McMahon, I'd probably tell everybody immediately starting now, we tell anyone and everyone this is because of mechanical issues, period. So I get it if it is a cover-up. I mean, I know we're a little bit conspiracy theorists here, but this is Forbes.com. What's one of those terrible websites, Huffington Post or something like that, where they just have, just fake news all the time. This is Forbes, so I don't know. I think there's something to this.
Yeah, and then it's just really weird that all of a sudden, oh, they just signed a new contract. Like, that's the kind of publicity that you get before you sign another new contract, or they extended the contract, I believe they did. So it's just like, okay, so for 3 days we were told that this happened, and they haven't paid WWE, and Vince is angry, and he left, and everybody who had a private jet just left, and left, the other people there, I guess they're expendable, and then you sign a new contract? Yeah. I don't know. It's just none of it makes any sense to me. Weird's going on. I don't know what that weird thing is, but those things don't add up.
No, the math, it doesn't compute. I mean, if you continue here, it says, WWE's reached for comment and swiftly denied these allegations, confirming its strong relationship with its partners in Saudi Arabia, i.e. they want to make sure that nobody's concerned about, selling stock, or that WWE doesn't look like a stable company, and that their millions held up in this could be in jeopardy. I think that this is nothing more than a financial move to cover up the actual issues that are, hey, Vince feel like and thought he didn't get paid. We're cutting your feed. And then the Prince gets pissed and ends up, taking their charter flight and delaying it and whatever. So, I mean, the Prince has a lot of power in that country. I mean, I don't think people understand, like, he got a journalist killed and then covered that up. I think he can do something as simple as, guys, why don't you like mess with the controls, or why don't you just make sure this plane doesn't get out of here on time. I think he could pull something like that off. So I would not put it past the Prince to do that, nor would I put it past Vince McMahon to do this.
Yeah, but that's why it's weird, because what you just said, like, you forget that this is the same guy who apparently had a journalist killed, or he did. And if this guy gets angry, who's to say the contract that guy signed was them being scared of the Saudi Arabian government? This isn't a far-fetched thing. That's why I started off this conversation. You do business. You choose to do business with a country that has a reputation like that, and where its leaders have a reputation like that. You're now in a position where you're in a contract with them where they are expecting a service, and they're scary people. So I feel like that new contract was forced signed, or that extension, because it's just a shady, there's something going on here, and I'm not trying to be like Nancy Drew or something like that. It just doesn't feel right in
Yes, something doesn't feel right. I mean, as human beings, we have that sixth sense when something's just off. And yes, we don't know. I mean, we're not sitting down with the executives. We don't know. But there's just too much weird information out there to dismiss all of it and chalk it up to, it's just mechanical failures. How can you just do that blindly?
Not talking about like an insignificant amount of money. The reports are what, $300 to $500 million the Saudi government hasn't paid Vince McMahon? That's a lot of money. That's mm-hmm. not like 10 grand. Like,
even
which is
Vince
still
McMahon.
A lot of money to me, but like, it's not 10 grand. That's a lot of money. Like,
right.
That's even why I'm saying they're in a position where I feel like WWE might be a little afraid of them, and they could do this because they know they're afraid of them. So say they're not going to tell them they're extending the contract. Do we know if McMahon got that money? why did all these reports come out? Is that BS? Like, I know there was a 60 million. This whole situation just seems really bad, and it could get bad. And I don't know if WWE or Vince going, okay, I want out of the contract works. You know?
No, it's not going to work.
Mm-mm. So he's kind of stuck right now.
No. I mean, I don't know if the out is, well, if you want out, go ahead and buy me out. I mean, maybe. There has to be an out for a contract. There always is. There's got to be some kind of termination clause. I don't know what that is. I don't know. Let me just say this. I would be extremely surprised if this contract goes through to its full termination date and is actually, you know, without any hitches and no further issues. I would be extremely, extremely shocked if the next 7 years are just clear sailing. It's very unlikely with a country like this that is using WWE as propaganda for getting tourism there and for trying to change the view of government there. And we're all supposed to celebrate that in 2019, we're all supposed to celebrate that the very first time women are able to compete there is in a WWE ring. And yeah, I understand the implications of it. And I think it's a great, you know, all accomplishment and stuff. But when you look back and stand back and get out of the pro wrestling lens and look at this as they really, you know, took the women of this country and, you know, for some time they were enslaved for most part. And after, you know, how many decades and hundreds of years, we finally get to 2019, and while they can't compete in their normal attire, they can compete in, you know, like a, you know, a t-shirt, and, you know, the match didn't mean anything. But again, it just seems like such propaganda to use that match as nothing more than try to attract tourism. I don't know. The whole thing with this country is just, it smells bad. Something's not right. I don't like this relationship. There's always something that happens, whether it's a journalist being killed, people calling it blood money, whether it's mechanical failures, the fact that they didn't allow women to compete until 2019, we're all supposed to go, yay, that's great. It just is something every single time, and I don't see this getting any better. I see things actually getting more controversial and as we move on for the next 7 years.
Yeah, everything you just said is absolutely 100% true. I do not see this going full term, and I don't know what's going to happen in order for them to get out of that contract, but this is just a relationship I don't think they should have ever gotten. And I say that as a woman, and I say that as a journalism major, like, that's why I don't watch these things. And you could be like, oh, you're still watching WWE. It's not about that. I love WWE, but I won't support something like that. And it just makes me nervous. And I think this next time around, excuse me, my cough is coming back. I think next time around when they go, there's going to be less wrestlers going again.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. I think there are going to be, and Daniel Bryan's one of them. Daniel Bryan has, you know, gone on the record of saying he's not going. I mean, and I don't know if WWE kind of on the sly punishes those or puts those who decide not to go on their naughty list of, hey, creative, when they have their production meetings, you know, these are the guys and gals that decided not to go of their own volition because, well, they don't want to go. They don't believe in what we're doing. But, you know, here's what we're not going to do is we're not going to push A, B, C, D, E, Y, you know, all the way down the list. Anybody on this naughty list, you know, we don't really need to focus on them the next, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm speculating on that, but I'm sure that when those wrestlers decide to say, hey, I'm not going because this is something's not right with this country, and you have big stars who also look at this and go, this is not right. Something is just wrong, and I think that we've you know, stated that 100 times, but yeah, I think more and more stars will decide to jump on that bandwagon of, I'm not going to this place, because I honestly wouldn't feel safe there. I really wouldn't, even as a performer. I would not feel safe there. There's just something that's not right about that government, and it just feels shady. And if you Google, you know, Saudi Arabia, and you even just Wikipedia the country and look at the human rights crimes that they've, you know, committed over the last decade, it's not pretty. This is like a while they have a ton of money and they go to, you know, they go to the city and they, you know, they make this place look great and they run the promotional video packages of how much they're changing and, oh my God, women can drive. It's 2019. That's great. I mean, like, all this stuff, it's politically motivated. It's a lot of it is dirty money, as people have said. But you know what? I still watch the pay-per-views because I watch wrestling. I don't, you know, I don't look at this as, oh, it's Saudi Arabia, I'm not going to support them. Well, I pay WWE. I don't pay Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is paying WWE to be there. You know, so people protest those kinds of events, and I understand why. I don't because, well, I have to cover it for this show, but I also, I'm just like, all right, well, I care about more about pro wrestling than I do about WWE's toxic relationship with this country that they're going to soon regret more, you know, probably sooner than later. So, all right, well, that's my final thoughts on this.
Okay. I mean, I see what you're saying too, but that's the same reasons why I don't watch it because I don't want, and I don't think this would ever happen, but you never know. Like, I don't want this relationship that they have with them to ruin WWE, because I care about WWE, and I feel like it's a step in the wrong direction for them. I understand, like, maybe what they're being sold, but, like, you know, people put shiny objects on top of, like, crap sometimes and, you know, sell you on one angle, like, oh, we'll let your women wrestle here, but in the end, I don't know. I can't support it, and I don't want anything bad to happen to the company because of this decision that they made. That's my underlying last thoughts about it.
Yeah, I could continue. I'm not going to. I mean, it's the more I talk about it, the more I think about it. This whole thing is just straight up shady. I think it's going to end in a car crash. I mean, not literally, obviously, but figuratively. I think this whole thing is going to end up in a car crash. It's going to end up messy. It's going to end up probably making news. It's not going to end well for WWE, and as you said, I do love the company. I mean, as much as I may trash them and just completely destroy them for storylines and lack of, you know, congruity in storylines and lack of development in characters, all that stuff, this trumps all of that. And the fact that you're dealing with a country that is, you know, got a long history of bad news, bad human rights, bad, I mean, lots of stuff, and they're using WWE as a propaganda tool and a platform to push their political agenda as, look at what we've done now. This is a great place to be, which is a bunch of nonsense. So, all right, well, moving on to the actual, back to wrestling, just a couple more things. I wanted to get your thoughts on Baron Corbin. I know that, you know, you didn't get to the end of the show with the main event of Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns, but boy, they love them some Baron Corbin, don't they? I mean, Vince just loves him some Baron Corbin and brings him out. And, you know, Baron Corbin cuts decent promos. That's the thing. As much as people may boo him or legitimately dislike him, he's a heel. But he cuts a good promo, and he's obnoxious as the king. And, you know, you do feel like, hey, I want someone to come up and slap this guy in the face. And Roman Reigns wasn't there at the beginning of the show. And so I know you didn't see the match, but I'm assuming you know the outcome.
I don't know the outcome. I saw the beginning of the show when he came out and cut the promo that he did, and it was terrible. Like, I do agree with you that Baron Corbin has been pretty on, but I don't know what that opening segment was. It was hard to listen to.
Poorly written.
Also, his music is terrible, and it sounds ridiculous. And whoever is, I don't know what's going on with their music department right now, but, like, you got Sasha come out with her new music, which is Snoop Dogg, her cousin, doing her song, which I think is pretty cool from when she had the entrance, I believe, at WrestleMania. And then you have Corbin's music chopped up with, like, a horn blaring in the middle of it. Yeah. I was just like, and then it went into the promo. It was terrible, man. The dog barking, like,
The poop bags. I mean, it's that has Vince McMahon all over it.
Yeah. What happened in the match? Because I haven't gotten that far.
I mean, honestly, so Baron Corbin ends up winning because Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode or Robert Roode ended up getting involved, of which we still have not gotten an explanation, but they ended up getting involved and Dolph Ziggler took a spear and Robert Roode took a Superman punch, but that allowed Baron Corbin, obviously, to take advantage, hit End of Days, and Roman Reigns lost the match. So this, without Roman Reigns going over clean here, that tells you this program is continuing right into Survivor Series.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Why is it like Dolph and Bobby Roode are like the people who just show up, interfere in people's matches, and then don't form an allegiance with anybody? Have you noticed this pattern?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
They could have just stayed with the OC, like I said weeks ago, and they would have a home. But nope. Now they're just, they're like, that's what they do, though. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, they float out there. And you know what? It's a shame because these two guys are so talented. Especially Ziggler, who, I know you're a huge Ziggler fan. I understand. I mean, but at this point in his career, you can't have any faith that they're going to actually push him to the level that you believe he could be at.
I don't want to talk about it, Matt.
Yeah, I know. We could do a whole show on Ziggler. I know. I know.
I'm so upset. I don't want to talk about it. They had their chance.
Oh, many, many chances.
But they just had a chance. I told them like 2 months ago. I was hoping for that so bad. I know it wasn't going to happen, but I'm upset. I don't want to talk about it.
You are easily the biggest Dolph Ziggler fan that I know. I mean,
I'm not as big as a fan as I used to be, but I used to be a really big fan when I started watching wrestling again. I really, really liked him. I love watching him in the ring. I never get sick of it. But no, I get a little butthurt about it. I like Dolph Ziggler.
It's a shame. It really is a damn shame of what they've done. And even no matter how big of a fan you are of Dolph Ziggler, I mean, WWE has at this point probably beaten you down into, I'm a fan.
I feel like a New York Jets fan.
Yeah. Or wait, a Giants fan today.
Giants fan.
If you're a Giants fan today, you now have the same record as the New York Jets. So.
No, actually, I think our record might be worse because we played an extra game.
Oh, okay.
We're 2-8, and they're 2-7.
Oh, with the bye. Okay. All right. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know that just made that worse. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. This is, I mean, it's just, it's awful. I mean, I know we're not talking about football here, but the Giants over the last 40 games are 10-31. I mean, it's just, are you a Giants fan, Jets fan? Do you not care?
I am a Giants fan, and a real quick note, because I did want to mention this, actually. I'm going to give my brother a shout out right now. He hate me 2012 on Twitter. He tweeted out today before the game, okay, Giants, you need to beat the Jets, because if you do, that probably means Adam Gase is going to get fired. He was like, and I don't want to see him get through the end of the season. My brother is a football fan, but he has no allegiance to any team. He just rips on the worst teams. So, and his wife's a Jet fan, so he just picks on the Jets extremely a lot. So, yeah, he said that, and then they lost. So that's where we're at as a Giants fan at this point. Can't even beat the Jets.
That's really fun. I mean, so he doesn't have a team. He doesn't have like.
He loves football. It's his favorite sport. He played it when he was younger. But he grew up in a Giants household. We're a Giants household. Mm. But he does not have a team. Like he doesn't. He loves good football games. And when teams are winning, he'll cheer and be like, "That was awesome." But no, he just rips on all the terrible teams, which is funnier than everything because he makes fun of every team. So like, even if it's a good team having a bad day, he'll make fun of them. But no, he doesn't have allegiance to a team, so he just rips on everybody. But the Jets the most, because his wife is a Jets fan. So.
Yeah, and the Jets are, I mean, the Jets are, like, abysmal. And the Giants are right there. I mean, it's just, it's.
But we didn't meet the Jets, so, and that's bragging rights also. So, it's just, we couldn't even beat the Jets. It's terrible. It is terrible.
Which makes you wonder how the hell we even won two games. I mean, they beat the Tampa Bay Bucks, but honestly, the Bucks beat themselves with the missed field goal. So there's that, right? And then who was the other win? Who was the other win against?
I don't even know, Matt. I don't even know.
Who the hell? Well, so I know this. We're talking about WWE.
Danny Dimes won 2 weeks in a row, and he hasn't won a game since. He won the game after the Bucks, too.
Yeah. God. Why can't I remember? The people are probably yelling at me right now. How do you not know? Well, hold on.
You're blocking out the tragedy and the traumaticness of that we lost the Jets today.
God, yeah.
It's a hard time being a Giants fan because we're supposed to be the good team.
The Redskins, which Redskins don't even have a defense. So, I mean, like, it's not surprising. Like, they won 24-3 at that point, week four. So, yeah, they won week three, week four, and that's it. So we'll probably end up going, 2-14? I mean,
I think he'll get one more win, but I don't know.
All right. Well, at this point, I just want a good draft pick. I mean, so, yeah.
Maybe they throw it, so I don't know.
Although, as insane as this is, so the Giants are, what'd you say, 2-8? Are they 2-7?
I think they're 2-8.
2-8.
And I think the Jets are 2-7. I could have it reversed, but those are the records for
so
both.
So there's
teams.
Actually a chance that they could not have a losing season if they run the table. And could, yeah. I mean, like, that's how crazy it is. It's not going to happen. But as terrible as the record is, you still got about half a season to go. And I don't know. It's not without the realm of impossibility. I mean, it's not going to happen, but to think about that, if I was an insane Giants fan, which I'm not, I love them, but not to the point of, you know, obsession. Your silver lining could be, well, you know, they still could have a 8-8 season, you know, I don't know. And wild cards could pop into that seed. So, yeah, but not going to happen. So
can't beat the Jets, man. What are you even doing?
If you
speculating about.
I could throw a ragtag team together, a high school team together, and probably, you know, at least come close to beating the professional football team of the Jets. I mean, they are awful. Their quarterback hasn't. He's played a full season of games, but over 2 years because he's had like mono or something.
Bad happens to the Jets. And when that black hat ran out last week about the Dallas Giants game, that's something that would have happened at a Jets game. I guess the cat got confused, but like every ridiculous thing that can happen to a sports team happens to the Jets. Like they just have jet luck.
The Jets are so dysfunctional. It's not even funny. Like the Jets are an embarrassment of an organization. They just are. They just flat out are. I mean, so, it's an awful time to be any New York sports fan. I mean, like, what New York team in any professional sports area is doing well?
I mean the Yankees were doing well. They got to the playoffs, but the Yankees. So,
yeah, but the thing is with that, you could say, yeah, they had 103 one season. They got to the ALCS. But the goal with the Yankees, they were built to win a championship.
Yeah, that's always
didn't.
Their goal.
You know, so. I don't know about the Rangers. I don't really follow hockey that much.
They just started. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. My family's Ranger fans. I'm sure I'll figure out. But the Devils are having a terrible season. I know that. So I don't know. That was our sad Giants rant, guys.
that was just. I mean, because it is the season's over. I mean, and again, next thing you got to do. What are you going to look forward to? The NBA season with the Knicks, who are I think 1-9. I mean, like, I don't know. The last time a New York sports team won a championship might have been the 2009 Yankees. I mean, Giants. I'm sorry, the Giants won in 2012, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the last time, which feels like an eternity ago. So, yeah. All right. Well, so I think I might have covered everything. I have checks next to everything that I was going to talk to you about. Do you have anything that I didn't talk about or I missed?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. I hope I got enough good stuff in this time.
Yeah, I know you did. And we kept
okay.
Yeah, no. And honestly, I think it kind of felt like the opposite of the last show we did, which is mostly positive, a lot due to NXT, with a sprinkling of this sucks. I mean, like a sprinkling of Rusev and Lana, you know, like which is not great. And I know you're not a huge fan of a sprinkling of Tyson Fury. But outside of those, you know, awfulness, it does have a lot to look forward to. There's a lot to look forward to right now with WWE. And that's saying something considering where we were just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to throw out there, too, what I was, like, talking about Finn and AJ and OC before. I mean, they were going after the Undisputed Era. So remember we were talking about factions and, like, adding more members and actually being a faction? You know, Undisputed Era is that faction because it's more than three, in my opinion. And they probably will recruit somebody in the future. But you put Finn back with the OC, and it's, you know, the club that started it all almost. It's the original leaders, right? Was Finn and AJ, right?
Yep.
So, makes sense, and that can transition to the main roster, because you know they're going to call up the Undisputed Era. Like I said, there's no way that Adam Cole, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I don't know what's going on. It's a weird time. But that's why I was saying there's a lot of potential, and I hope that, you know, it's not like just a story arc and then it's gone and then we get back to the terribleness that was 3 weeks ago.
I hope not. I hope that somehow they're able to build on this. I don't know how, considering after Survivor Series we have TLC And TLC is, to me, every time they roll into December, I automatically know it's just kind of the lull. It's the lull before the true Road to WrestleMania starts. It's holiday season, so they're not putting their best foot forward. You know, there's a lot of just like, you know, terrible holiday theme promos, and it's the same thing. It's just a cyclical nature every single year with WWE, and so I'm not expecting a whole lot to happen in December. I could be wrong, and maybe this year they change my mind, but that's just been WWE the last forever that I can remember, until that calendar switches to January 1st, and that first Raw of the new year is always a big one because they know they have the audience back. You know, football playoffs are going on, but they're not happening on Monday nights or Friday nights, for that matter. I mean, they're happening on the weekends. Even Wild Card Weekend is not going to fall, I believe, on a Monday or a Friday for the Monday nights and or for WWE's television programming. So it's kind of like a new, fresh start for them. They have the maximum audience. People know WrestleMania is around the corner. So to me, I'm really circling, you know, the first Monday Night Raw that happens in January to start the new year. And then, so that's what I'm really looking forward to. Outside of, yes, we have TLC, but that's more of a pit stop.
But you also got to remember that sometimes they do set up things as Survivor Series for Royal Rumble. So saying with the Bray and the Undertaker thing, if that's going to come to fruition, not only is it the debut of Undertaker was November 19th, it is also November of 2019. So, you know, speculation, I don't know if it's going to get thrown off, but who's to say the Undertaker doesn't pop up at Survivor Series, because it's the anniversary of his debut also, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, it'll be 29 years. Unfortunately, it's not that nice. Even 30. Yeah, if Undertaker has to be there next year, I know it's a year away now, but if they don't have
Undertaker, he's going to be like 95 next year.
I know. I mean, like, have him just, like, you know, come around and hover around or something. Yeah. And look, I love Undertaker. I'm not going to go off on a tangent about him because it'll be another 30 minutes, but I'm at this point in his career where we're all on the same page that his matches are nowhere near what they used to be, and that he is inside the ring a shell of what he used to be. He doesn't move around that great anymore. The Goldberg match certainly did not help. I mean, Goldberg didn't either with his limited moveset. But I'm also appreciative of the fact that there will be a day where we no longer see The Undertaker in the ring, like, forever. Like, he is completely done. And I think I'm trying to force myself to appreciate when he actually is there, because it may very well be his last. So that's where I'm trying to go, because there's going to come a day where it's true, it's official, it's done, and it's over for the dead man.
Yeah, but I know. I was just busting chops because I just want him to, like, have a nice life and not hurt himself anymore. That's all it is. But what I'm saying, you're probably right. It's probably going to be next year where he retires, if he retires. Hopefully he retires. But getting back, who's to say that, again, he doesn't pop up at Undertaker, Survivor Series, and attack Bray Wyatt, and then that leads to something at Royal Rumble, because Royal Rumble is still basically the second biggest pay-per-view. I don't count SummerSlam. I think Rumble is bigger than
than
SummerSlam. So that could happen, and it's the same thing with the NXT storylines. I feel like you're going to get a lot more NXT people in the Rumble this year, and if they're trying to make NXT that third brand now, is that it's on USA. So these fights that are happening now could continue into the Rumble with the NXT people and the, you know, the main roster people meeting up again and attacking each other in the main match at the Rumble when they're fighting for a championship spot. So there's ways to continue this stuff, and I hope that's what happens. But a lot of times Survivor Series, they do set up stuff for the Rumble, so we got to wait and see.
Yeah, no, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with Survivor Series. They did it with Shawn Michaels' Undertaker back in WrestleMania 25, where they hinted at it happening then. And there's ways to do it. The problem I have is I don't have faith in the booking team to look beyond the, you know, 2 weeks. And with Vince McMahon's constant reports of getting to Raw or getting to SmackDown, tearing up the script and rewriting it, I have very, very little faith that they actually have beyond maybe one or two matches of what they want at this year's WrestleMania to actually book backwards all the way to Survivor Series. I just don't have the faith. While I would do it that way, and that's the smart way to do it, is to, where do you want to be, now book backwards, I have a very sneaking suspicion that WWE's creative and Vince McMahon probably have not even gone back. Maybe Rumble is probably the furthest they've gone back, but Survivor Series, I'd love to see it. I hope they do it. But I just doubt it, outside of maybe like one of their major matches that they want for WrestleMania.
I mean, I think we have a better chance of this Bray Wyatt thing going through with Undertaker if they're going to bring Undertaker back for WrestleMania. I think that's something that they would set out in advance. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Undertaker pops up at Rumble and they have a match at Rumble instead. Because it just, I don't know, like, he's been popping up at weird places and he's been on more things lately. So it just seems like they could continue it and then have, like, maybe the rubber match or the final match, I'm sorry, at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they could. I mean, yeah, they could. And I know this is all speculation until we get there. And the next time we talk, we will know the answer of whether or not Undertaker was there. So, and actually, the next time we talk, I always try to figure out when that's going to be because now we're starting to run into holidays and things like that. It's going to get nuts. So let me see here as I look at my calendar. Okay, if assuming we did it on our normal Saturdays, let's see. So it'll be 16th, 23rd. It'll be November 30th. Or December 1st, depending on whatever day. But so that'll be the day after Black Friday. So I don't know if you get caught up in that stuff, do you?
I work every Black Friday. I don't even deal with the. I've been working Black Friday since I was 16 years old when I worked at a mall. It's just I work. I don't go shopping or any of that. I deal with the craziness. But now I'm in a private building, so I don't have to deal with the outside. Getting to work might be a little pain in the butt, but usually it's kind of dead. So. Yeah, I work. I don't do the shopping thing. I like wait till the last minute and then go shopping. So.
Yeah, no, I every year I say to myself, this year, Matt, you are going to be, on the ball. You're going to shop. You're going to get shopping done 3 weeks before. And what happens? December 21st, 22nd rolls around and I'm like, I do that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why.
Father used to voluntarily go shopping on Christmas Eve. So I guess it's just forced out of that. Like my dad would wait to the literal last minute and be like, Mary, we got to go Christmas shopping. And like, we would go out on Christmas Eve. So there was that, but I just don't have the time and I don't have the patience to deal with people. I don't like the general public, so I'm not going to put myself in a position where there are crazy people all around me. I'll work it and then because then I'm in charge. And if you give me a problem, I could throw you out of the store. And that's what I used to do at Sam Goody. So it doesn't bother me. But yeah, don't feel bad. Nobody goes shopping on time. Those people who do that are crazy. So I don't know how to do it.
All right. So it's not just me. Good. All right. Well, Mary, before I let you go, let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
You guys can follow me on Instagram at Poppins311, and you can follow me on Twitter at Mare_Bare, B-A-R-E. And I'm upset nobody tweeted questions at us tonight.
I think it's a Sunday night. I don't know if everyone has tomorrow off. I mean, I do because I work for the state. But I think maybe probably and I've noticed that when I tweet beyond like 9 p.m. Eastern time or even 8, I don't get a whole lot of responses or anything like that. So I'm thinking a lot of the people that are looking at these tweets are either asleep or in like, I don't know, the
Sunday mode.
Yeah. They're in Sunday mode where they've already turned themselves off. They're watching football and then they just go to sleep. So that's what I'll chalk it up to, because typically, I mean, I've gotten like before last time I got like emails after the show. Oh, I didn't see that. I wanted to this. So what I'll do next time is just tweet out before, like days in advance. Give me a list of stuff and that way we can go through it. So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Awesome. I like all reading tweets. We should read funny wrestling tweets once a week, too. We should find like a golden one during Raw or SmackDown and be like, this is the tweet of the week. Because I think, like, Twitter is awesome for wrestling. Like, you find some really funny stuff. If you're a fan, you can make fun of it when it's bad and stuff or just silly stuff. I think that's great. So,
like, meme. I love memes and stuff like that. But obviously, memes are going to be hard to show here. But, yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, let's find something that throughout the week, because there's always stuff going on with, like, you know, 6 wrestling shows a week now. There's always something that pops up that is just hilarious.
Yeah, people are clever, though. They don't necessarily need a GIF or a meme. Sometimes they're just funny worded memes. They're comedians and stuff. So we should do something like that. But sometimes I find tweets and I'm like obsessed with them for days. So that was just a suggestion. But next time, I hope we have questions.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely will. And if I do find any funny tweets, I'm going to save them because now like I see them and I just laugh and I move on. But to actually keep them and then read them, I think would be.
You should do it with your co-hosts every week. You should. So it stays fresh. So like whoever you do the show with next week, you guys find funny tweets from Raw and SmackDown or NXT or anything and then read it out. And then the week of our time, I will do the same thing. Because right, I'm very right. active during Raw and SmackDown. I know you like kind of watch behind, but if I'm off, because I'm off on Mondays because I have class all day, so I'm usually like on Twitter for the most part, unless I'm like doing Spanish homework.
Right. Yeah, no. No, I try to stay. Yeah, it's so hard for me to stay off social media because the first thing that pops up on Twitter is like something that happened on Raw. I'm like, damn it. Like, I don't want to see this. And I try so hard to avoid it. I wish I could watch it live. I just can't. So, but all right. Well, Mary, it's been awesome. You did not, you know, bring out my dark side, which is I don't know if it's positive because I kind of enjoyed it in a weird way. But maybe you'll be able to tap into that next time, depending on where we're at post Survivor Series. So I'm looking forward to
it. I have all the faith in the world that WWE will do something that we will want to pull our hair out over.
Yeah, I think I have no doubt. I have no doubt. So, all right. Well, you enjoy your Thanksgiving because I won't be talking to you. And
you too.
I will...
Have a good holiday. It's my second favorite holiday. So other than Halloween and Thanksgiving. And then I shut down for the rest of the year and I get excited on January 2nd because it's over. So have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, well, I will talk to you just before you hit shutdown mode in your brain then.
No, I'll be fine, though. I'm good. I just don't like – I work in New York City, and I don't particularly like Christmas, so it just becomes a long stretch, and I have finals. We were talking about that in December, and it's like all my relatives' birthday, so I get grumpy. But I'll be good for wrestling.
All right. Awesome.
All right.
Can't wait.
But alrighty. I'll bring the dark side out. That's what I meant. Yeah. I'm sure that it'll happen again.
All right. Now I've already got like this preconceived notion of like how awful. So I'm just going to like pre-rate the show on November 30th to explicit. So how about that?
I'll just I try really hard not to curse on this show. I tried really hard today too, but it just came out because we were talking about McMahonigans. So that's what happens when we talk about Vince McMahon when he does crazy old man Vince McMahon stuff.
All right, so that is your trigger. That's a trigger warning for Mary. Okay, awesome. All right, well, I will talk to you in a few weeks.
All right, you have a good night, Matt.
You too. Bye.
Bye.